The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to Vox Markets. I am John Heumann, and I'm delighted to be joined today by Dan Raabe and Paul Haworth, respectively CEO and CFO of Get Busy, to talk about your latest results. How are you doing, guys?
Good. Thanks very much, John.
Excellent. No problem at all. I think this is your first time on Vox. So perhaps a good place to start before we dig into the results would be for you to introduce yourselves and Get Busy. Tell us what the company does and the markets that it serves.
Excellent. Well, I'm Dan Raabe. I'm the CEO of Get Busy. And with me today is Paul Haworth, who's the CFO of Get Busy. We sell productivity software to professional service firms. What that actually means is we help professional service firms, predominantly accountants, store, file, search, and share documents with their clients. So we enable them to give better customer relationships and better customer experience to their clients, help them make sure that their documentation is secure and threats from cybersecurity are dealt with. And then we help them be more efficient in their workflow internally so that they can deal with documents in a simpler way. We've been doing that for over 20 years. We're very good at it. We've got over 70,000 paying customers. We store over a billion unique documents, and our customers share those documents with about 3 million of their clients. So we're material in our impact to our core market, and we see great growth potential in the back of the value we provide well into the future.
Mm. I mean, they are industries that are well known for creating quite a lot of documents. So you're definitely in the right place. And, you know, they obviously need as much help as they get to manage, you know, that workflow, as you say. And that's really translating into some very strong growth as your latest results have shown. Perhaps you could talk us through the highlights and what's really driven that strong performance.
Yeah, of course. So, as you said, we feel we're continuing to head in the right direction and growing really well. We grew 16% at the recurring revenue line for constant currency. We're 96% of our revenue is recurring revenue, which is probably the highest on the London Stock Exchange, or the second highest. We had strong net revenue retention over 100%. Our gross churn came down to 0.8%. So our underlying indicators are pointing in the right direction. And, you know, we're self-funding all our growth, and we can continue to do that. We have more than adequate growth capital with 1.7 million cash and 2 million debt facility. So we're confident that the underlying results prove that we should continue investing in the growth, and that with the business in the position it is, that we can achieve our set goal, which was doubling the business in 5 years. We put to the market probably 2 years ago. We're well on track to do that.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned recurring revenues there, and you know, looking at the results, gross margins incredibly high as well. Paul, perhaps you, but you know, being the CFO, can talk us through, you know, how that works. What do you do to deliver such, you know, fantastic numbers there?
Yeah, so we started about 6 years ago transitioning all of our customers to a subscription model. So a lot of software companies started out life as, you know, a big, large upfront number, and then maybe a tiny amount of support in the future. So we saw quite early on for the UK the value of those subscription revenues, and ultimately the value of sort of the annuity-like characteristics that they have. So we started that transition a very long time ago. We've just been building up that share time and time again. For the last 5 years, we've only sold pure subscription plans to our customers, and that now affords us very good revenue visibility. I mean, waking up on the 1st of January knowing that, you know, 96% of last year's revenue is already in the bag for you is a very strong position to be in. We're able to see, you know, the rates at which our customers churn from us, and which are those customers that churn most frequently, and then make sure we're focusing on the customers that stay with us the longest, targeting those in our acquisition. You can create a very data-driven business model with the sort of business that we are. It's one of the great advantages of being a SaaS business, and there aren't many of them in London.
Indeed, indeed. You mentioned churn there, and you know, relative or very, very low churn rates. I guess you know your software being mission critical means that you know once someone's signed up, then they stay. It's you know, I guess it's a very sticky product in that respect.
Yeah, absolutely. We are quasi-infrastructural for our customers, and the software into which we integrate as well tends to be very infrastructural. It's absolutely core to the businesses that we sell to. It's very disruptive to change that software once it's in.
Yeah, indeed. The other thing I noticed is that a lot of your revenues are captured up front, so at the beginning of the contract rather than throughout. Is that the case?
So about 70% of our customers pay us annually in advance. So
Yeah, yeah.
typically a customer will stay with us for about 10 years is the average at the moment. We've actually got the track record to demonstrate that as well. So every year they're paying annually in advance. We tend to find those are the stickiest customers. They're happy to make that financial commitment. It shows they're committed to the software. They're more likely to focus internally on using it well. And that creates obviously a lot of self-funded growth for us as well.
Yeah, I was going to say it must really help the cash profile, and then gives you the firepower to keep investing. Dan, perhaps we could talk about investment because obviously this has been a very busy period on both the sales and product development front. Can you tell us what you've been doing there?
Yeah, so we've been accelerating our investment into sales and marketing. So we have clearly a product market fit in our target markets. There's good buying demand, and we feel that if we can execute effectively on additional sales and marketing, we can accelerate the growth well into the future. So those sales and marketing is coming in the form of direct, so going directly to customers, but it's also in our additional investment in partnerships. So we've seen in both sides of our business really successful partners launched in the last 6 to 12 months, and they're starting to have material impact on our results, and we think will drive growth well into the future. So sales and marketing is the core investment at the moment. And then on top of that, we continue to invest in our product because we believe that components like AI, cybersecurity will become more and more relevant in the future. And we have an opportunity, given the valuable data, to be the leaders in our space within those components. So we're investing today to get the results tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. Makes sense. What sort of partners are we talking about? I saw a mention of you know the large sort of enterprise resource planning type companies. You know, give us a feel for who you're working with and who's you know really creating these opportunities for you.
So, what we're very focused on are people or companies within our target market that have deep relationships with our customers. So in the US, for example, SmartVault, one of the partners we announced recently, was Right Networks. They're the largest hosted provider to accountants in the US. So they have trusted relationships with accountants, and they're now reselling our SmartVault product. In the UK, we're very focused with our work here product to sell into ERP clients, predominantly NetSuite at the moment. And so we're signed up 20 ISVs of NetSuite, so implementation partners of NetSuite, who have trusted relationships with their clients, and they're now selling us into their clients. There's a lot of opportunity for us to extend partners in both sides of the business, and we think that's going to continue to be a focus of ours in the future.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. A lot of opportunity out there. Paul, perhaps you could talk through the sort of geographic opportunity because you know you're a global business. Talk us about sort of how the business is split around the world and where the sort of biggest opportunities lie.
Yeah, so about 55% of our business is in the US, about 30% or so in the UK, and the rest is in Australia and New Zealand. By far, the greatest medium-term opportunity for us is in the US. There's about 1 million accountants, people working in the accounting industry in the US. About half of those are qualified, and there are some really interesting structural dynamics going on in the US accounting industry. There's about 50,000 too few new accountants joining that industry every year. That's putting an enormous squeeze on the existing accountants that are there. They're getting more stressed, there's more workload. They have to become more productive, and our software is a part of making them more productive, and frankly, their working days more tolerable. Otherwise, we're going to see more people leaving that profession. So that's a really interesting dynamic for us in the US, and we see us being able to capitalize on that significantly over the next few years.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, those sort of long-term trends that you're investing to tap into. I mean, you've alluded to a couple of them already, but you know, remote working, you know, the ever-increasing burden of regulation, and Dan, as you mentioned, cybersecurity. Can you perhaps tell us how they support the trading outlook?
Yeah.
Well, I think yeah, those are the key drivers to our customers adopting our type of software, and I think that, you know, the efficiency mandate that we all have in an ever-changing world, and then couple that with the changing on types of working, remote working, the greater regulation burden, the more threat from cybersecurity, and then the evolution of AI technology, and especially productivity software, is going to evolve and become more and more core to the way in which people work. So our opportunity is to be at the front of that, and capitalize on people's adoption of technology like ours. And the key to that is us actually adding value. So we actually have to solve these problems for the customers. And if we can do that, then we're creating significant value to them, and then we'll grow a very successful business on the back of that.
Mm-hmm. You know, I always like to see problem-solving businesses. There's always a good space in the market for them. Paul, perhaps you could give us a feel for how that you know, opportunity translates into numbers, into the growth of Get Busy.
Yeah, so ultimately, at the end of 2021, we set ourselves the target of doubling our annual recurring revenue over the following 5 years. So we're about a year into that. That translates to about 30 million of ARR by the end of 2026. We believe we're well on track to do that. And ultimately, we set ourselves the target of distributing up to about £150 million to shareholders by the end of this decade. So, yeah, that we believe there's a lot of growth to come in the business. We believe there's a lot of value intrinsic in our products and in the customer bases that we have. And ultimately, we expect that to come through in cash or valuation.
No, indeed. Guys, it's been absolutely fascinating talking to you. It's you know, really, really fantastic product that, as you've said, you know, meets a real market need, you know, a time of rapid change. So yeah, congratulations on a very strong set of numbers, and great talking to you.
Great, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.